The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Many of the practical signs and gestures of the Mass also have a deep spiritual symbolism. They are both practical and spiritual. If you've ever been to the Cathedral of St. James in Compostela, Spain, you'll notice that there's this huge incenser that hangs from the ceiling and it swings back and forth over the altar across the entire sanctuary. Incense is a sign of the holy, the sacred, but it also has a practical value. It hides the body odor of the pilgrims who have just walked 550 miles of the Camino all the way to this cathedral, both spiritual and practical. Do you know why the priest, in the middle of the Mass, washes his hands? Have you noticed that? He is asking God to wash away his sins. But it also has a practical purpose. In the early church, people didn't set up automatic bank drafts for their donations. Instead, they brought in chickens and eggs and produce as their donations. And so the priest had to wash his hands before handling the holy, both spiritual and practical. One day, a Catholic brought a friend to Mass and was explaining all the rich symbolism, how everything had a meaning in the Mass. As the priest was about to give his homily, he took off his wristwatch and laid it on the pulpit so that he could watch his time. The visitor asked, "And what does that mean?" The Catholic answered, "Not a darn thing." But most of the things that we do at Mass have a spiritual finality, even an eternal destiny. As Maximus said in the movie Gladiator, what we do in life echoes in eternity. This is what Jesus tries to teach his apostles in the gospel today. Mrs. Zebedee wants her sons to sit at Jesus' left and his right in his kingdom because she envisioned an earthly kingdom. She wanted earthly glory for her boys. Instead, Jesus says that they must drink from his chalice and seek a spiritual glory, a heavenly reward. What really counts is the echo in eternity, of our earthly actions. James and John did indeed drink from Jesus' chalice at the Last Supper, the same chalice that you and I drink from at the Mass. And they gained a great glory in heaven. What we do in life echoes in eternity. My friends, try to see the small things that you do every day as having echoes in eternity. Just as the practical things we do at the Mass carry a weight of glory and grace, so too, for example, our daily conversations, whether we build people up or tear people down, that echoes in eternity. This is why the church dares to teach sexual morality, prohibiting contraception, adultery, pornography, homosexuality, because these things echo in eternity. Hear the echo? So too does our care for our common home, as Pope Francis reminds us lately. How we care for this world will echo in the next world. Every time we sip from the same chalice as Jesus at Mass, remember that what we do in this life echoes in eternity. Praised be Jesus Christ.